Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
Jesus. And I just want to thank him this morning just for his presence. Just want to thank him this morning just for just keeping us and bringing us out to another time to be in the house of the Lord. And truly, he is worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. And I hope that we came with an expectation of just believing that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I just want you to think about that time that God kept you. And I just want to encourage you that he's still able to keep you even now. It ain't nothing changed about God. Hallelujah. His power is still the same. Thank you, Lord God. So I just want to direct all the attention towards him. And I just want to thank God for my spiritual parents in the Lord and the person of Bishop Gerald Haynes and Minister Ida Haynes. Give God the glory for them. I just want to thank and praise God just for having spiritual parents that, you know, we can be in a place where we have something to pattern ourselves after. We have someone that's walking this walk that we can be encouraged just by seeing the lifestyle that God is blessing them to live. So I'm thankful about that. And to God be all the glory. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not going to be before you long. And I like to say this I heard a long time ago. An old wise pastor said, 30 minutes is long enough for a good sermon. And it's too long for a bad one. So I'm not going to be before you long. Just want the Lord to have his way and just want to hopefully say some encouraging words that will encourage you today. I know this may sound just like a repeat, but this is what God gave me weeks ago. Tell somebody, it sounds like a repeat. And turn to somebody else and say, that's because it is. Thank you, Jesus. I said, Lord, what do I do? Do I look for another message or what? But I just have to press on with what God was giving me, he was showing me in the word of God. So let us pray. Most holy and everlasting God, Lord, you know that you are the only wise God. There is none like you, Lord. Lord, what can we do without you? Lord God, is in you. We live, we move, and we have our being, Lord God. I pray today, Lord, that you will be exalted and you will be the only one that is lifted up, Lord God. I pray that all attention, Lord God, hallelujah, and direction be pointed unto you. Because knowing that you, Lord God, are able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of your glory with exceeding joy, you are the only wise God, our Savior. To you be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He is worthy to be praised. And as I was just listening even on yesterday and listening to my brother in the gospel as he was telling me something that God had given him. And I said, well, what is this about this message that God is striving to communicate to each and every one of us? What is it he's wanting us to be able to pick up on or to get out of what he is saying? Because it ain't like God is not talking. He's still speaking. But are we listening? Sometimes it's got to be in that still, small voice that when we can get by ourselves and start concentrating on the word of God, that God will reveal the things in which he wants us to know. So I'd like to direct your attention to the book of Luke on the 12th chapter. Excuse me, I'm trying to teach from this iPad. So if I tell you to go around and high five about 10 or 15 people, don't look at me strange. Just go ahead and be obedient. I get myself back together. Oh, I miss. Okay, we're gonna pick up on Luke 12 and we're gonna start at the 13th verse. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns, build greater. And there will I bestow all my goods, my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? I just want to have this short topic today to try to communicate or deliver to you. And that's simply, don't be a fool. You may be seated. Don't be a fool. A lot of times we relate that to somebody that's stupid or somebody's not intelligent. But this is what is being communicated to us today is that it has nothing to do with the lack of intelligence, but it's the lack of moral character in this individual. Now, as we look at this topic, we see that he had things all planned out. And you know how it is. Sometimes we make plans and we go on and we think about, you know, where we're going to live in life. And, you know, maybe you that's just getting out of school, where you're going to go to college and when you're going to get married and you know, what age that I'm going to retire. And we have this thing all planned out. But so many times God has another plan. And God's plan will always trump our plans. So as we look at the life of this individual, the Bible says a certain man, he was a certain rich man that brought forth plentifully. We all can identify with that, you know, how God has enriched us and blessed us indeed. A lot of times we have, as the scripture said, enough and to spare. But you know how it is sometimes that we can just be about ourselves and it's me and me and only me. But God is about taking care of not just the rich, but the poor also. You know, it was this thing that they called gleaning, you know, back in Israel's day. And God, it was a commandment that he commanded them. They couldn't just go and scrip the fields. You know, after they had harvest, they couldn't just go and just take everything. But he told them to leave the corners. He wanted to leave something for the poor to come in and have their needs met. So the next time when God blessing you and you see that you have enough and to spare, just take under consideration that it's not just about you. It's not just having our needs met, or it's not just about just doing what the things that I want to do. I'm trying to get ready for retirement. But do you know that people have needs? Those needs sometimes can't wait till the next paycheck. Those needs just can't wait until, well, you know, come back in a few days or a few months when I get myself together, then I'll be able to help you. No, that's just not how things work. But God is able. I just want everybody to know that it's God, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich. And he added no sorrow with it. Because he is in control of absolutely everything. But look at what Jesus tells them in that 12 and 15. He said, take heed. He uses the word beware. A lot of times we look at that word beware, you know, like beware of the dog. So I'm not just going to come up in there any kind of way, but it's telling me to beware. It's calling special attention to something. When it says beware, it's telling you to be cautious. Stay alert to the dangers of. It's telling you to be on guard. Watch out. Look out. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes peeled. Telling you to beware. That's what Jesus was telling them. Beware of what? Beware of covetousness. Covetousness is what? When we desire so much of something that somebody else got. Because we all serve the same God that is able to meet each and every one of our needs. The Bible says that he shall supply all of our needs are what? According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. His riches and glory. And we heard it time and time again. We can't bankrupt heaven. Heaven is not in a deficit. And to that I said, thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad that God has everything that we need. Everything. And I know we are living in some difficult times, and I'm not going to try to downplay that. But we have to recognize the fact that God is still God. He said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding, but in all thy ways. Acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. I'm telling you what, God will do it every time. Every time he shall direct thy path. But he told him to beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. It's not always in the things. You know, we've heard this before, and it's worth reiterating. It ain't nothing wrong with having things. But don't let things have you. Then that's the problem. When we let things have us, and that when we can get beside ourselves and think that we are such a much by what God has given unto us. Don't you understand that we are just simply stewards of God? We're just simply being caretakers of another man's good. And that's, we have to be particularly careful how we represent God for what he has put in our hands to take care of. But he said, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, he said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. It's all filled up. I don't have any more space. And I'm not looking for the next person to bless. Ain't that something? Not trying to look for nobody else. Man, but you ain't got enough. You all filled up. I know that's a problem, but my solution to that problem, I'm going to tear down these old barns. And I'm going to build some bigger barns. He said he's going to pull down these barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. We got to realize that things can change on a dime. One day it can be going everything a-okay. Everything good. And the next day it can be total chaos. But you know what? God is not allowing these things to come into our lives to make us bitter. But he has to allow these things to come into our lives to allow us to see, I don't have it all together. I'm not in control. God, you are in control. And he allowed these things to happen in our life. I think it was Martin Luther King that said, the measure of a man is not where he stands in times of comfort and convenience, but where he stands in times of challenge and controversy. You know, anybody can do good when everything is going good. Everybody's okay as long as the storm is calm. But let the waves start splashing. Let the boat start tossing and turning. And then we understand we'll be just like those disciples. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Yes, he cares. But he allows those things to come into our lives. And I'm thankful because it helps us keep our attention on him. I mean, too many times, you know, people allow success and they allow their things that they've accomplished in their life, their accomplishments take the place of God's glory. And they look within themselves and they think within themselves that I've come this far. Have you heard people? Yeah, I've arrived. I had to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Ain't nobody did nothing for me. You heard it. I did this when nobody there to help me. But God has a way of allowing things to happen. You know, just like that car that with the bad alignment, you done hit too many potholes and now you're being just gradually going in the wrong direction. We have to come in and get back in line with the word of God. But this is what his thinking was. This is what his plans was. But God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. In the natural, you're busted at the seam. You don't have enough room to store what you got. But in the spiritual realm, you are insufficient funds. Have you ever been there? You know, they send you that letter. Your account has been drafted. Because there was insufficient funds. Didn't even have enough to cover yourself. That's how it is when we have so much attention on these natural things, but we don't attend to the spiritual things of God. On one account, it says, what does it profit the man that if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? What does it profit somebody that if they can have everything that they ever wanted, but at the end of the day, you hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Now that's a sad day. That's a sad day. But listen to what he goes on to say. This night thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall these things be that thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore, he said, therefore, meaning for that reason. This is what he talked to him. He said, for that reason, therefore, therefore, for that reason, I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Look at that example that he gave. He said, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowl? That's the ask yourself that question. How much more are ye better than the fowls? If God can take care of these birds and these fowls that don't even have storehouses to store up for tomorrow. But if he cares enough about them to supply all that they are in need of, what about you and me? That was made in the image of God. And when God made us, he looked back and said, it was very good in what he has made. I'm going to tell you, don't sell yourself short getting all frantic and in a panic by what we see going on all the time. Our trust have got to be stayed on Jesus. Our focus has got to be on Jesus. Me and my wife, we was in Atlanta. And it was our anniversary, and we were, you know, it'd be nice to have a carriage ride. You know, this horse that pulling this carriage, and this thing was, you know how the horses is. I was like, wow, man, this, you know, I don't know. I want to do this, but there's a lot of traffic, and you know, and a lot of noise and horns, bam, 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 and all this and that. That's what the thing gets spooked. It's all going through my mind, you know. But, you know, we want to do the nice thing, you know, and have something nice to do. So I asked the driver, you know, of the horse, I said, well, what causes it to not get spooked or you know, all this stuff that's going on all around him? He said, but, well, if you look at him, he got blinders on. And those blinders keep things out of his peripheral vision and allows him not to get distracted. You know, a lot of times how things can be going all around us and we get our eyes off God because of so many things going on around us. We need to put some prayer on our peripheral vision. Keep those things out of our focus. Those things that are keeping us from reaching our destiny as to where God wants us to be. Distractions. Don't be a fool. Don't count on yourself. Don't think that it's about you. Paul said, I am that I am only by the grace of God. Paul recognized, you know, wrote most of the New Testament, that he recognized, he said, all that he has is dung. In other words, it's nothing when it comes to Christ. So we can't be a fool to think that it's all about us or that we can handle this thing called life on our own. You know, so many people are taking their lives. So many people are committing suicide. Why? Because of the cares of this world. Not saying these things aren't, you know, troublesome times, but that's why we got to keep our mind stayed on Jesus. So if he can take care of all these fowls and all these things that fly through the air and they're not worried about anything. And he said this, and he says, and which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? In other words, what's profiting you to think about all this stuff and get all tangled up and tied up and concerned when you can't do nothing about it? If you could do something about it, we would do something about it. But sometimes we're in situations ain't nothing we could do. Lean and depend on Jesus. He said, consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Then he said, oh, ye of little faith. Look how he brought faith into that sentence. Oh, ye of little faith. You know, faith is more than having a belief in something or someone. Faith is really a call to action. James said that faith without works is dead. This is what Frederick Douglass said. Frederick Douglass said, I prayed for 20 years for freedom and nothing happened until I put feet on my prayers. So the thing about it is we can pray. Pray to the Lord of harvest that he send forth laborers and God's going to do that. But if that's all we do is just pray and take no action. If all we do is pray, you got a situation, all you do is pray, but take no action. It is unprofitable. James said it's dead, not alive. Lifeless, it ain't gonna be able to do nothing. So where are we? I'm almost through. He says this. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth. T-H. On the end of that word. Meaning that not just only do he know, he continues to know.
Yes.
It ain't like he understand you this week, but next week he don't know what's going on in your life. But your Father knoweth. He knoweth that ye have need of these things. But this is the kicker. Don't be a fool. Don't run after these things that are in the world that are only temporary. Don't be a fool to think that we can sustain ourselves or that we have control of our lives. Or that we can live how we want to live and there are no consequences. But he says this. He said, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things shall be added unto you. We can't be like another Nebuchadnezzar. You know, Nebuchadnezzar was a king, and, man, he had it going on. Bible speaks, you know, how he was, all these things that he had, you know, his kingdom was great. Came out of the palace one day, and this is what he, and this is what he said, because, you know, he had this dream that troubled him, and just give you, you know, I don't have time to go through the whole thing, because, but he had this dream, and it troubled him. He called all the musicians and astrologers and all these people, and they couldn't reveal to him what the dream was. So, you know, he called Daniel. And it said that, you know, when he told Daniel the dream, that Daniel, he was a stone for a whole hour. Troubled. Finally, the king said, go ahead. In other words, you know, tell me what the dream was about. And Daniel, you know, told him and everything, and you know, and after he had told him, you know, what was going to happen and all of this, and but one day, this is what he did. So it's Daniel, the fourth chapter. You care to read about it later on? He says that. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, he said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty? That sounds familiar. Might not have been my, but it was I. That sound familiar to you? Now he said, while he was saying this, and Daniel already told him what was going to happen, but while he was speaking these words, he had, you know, so caught up in himself and showing you how God will have no one glory in his presence. He, the Lord our God, is a jealous God, and him only shall we serve. So as he was speaking these words, and the Bible said, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. So like I said, things can change on a dime just that quick. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. But check this out. This is the important thing that I want to point out about Nebuchadnezzar, even though that tragedy had happened in his life. He says, and at the end of the day, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven,
and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He said, at the time of my reason return unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness, return unto me. My counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. And excellent majesty was added unto me. And he said these last words, for I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor and honor the King of heaven, all whose work are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. So what am I saying? Don't be a fool. Allow God to navigate your life. And let us all continue to seek him and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto us. God bless you.
Thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise. Because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive, and with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise.